I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ground ball down the third baseline. Fair ball. One run is in. Castellanos scores. Racing over to third base is Caratini. He rounds third. He's coming home. And Horner slides into third base. Safe. A two-run triple for Nico Horner. And the Cubs extend the lead. 6-2 now over the Padres in the fifth. His first two RBIs as a big leaguer.
Fun to get a chance to do it all. Yeah, being playing defense in the middle of the field, whether it's short, second, or center, you can make a difference in the game even when you're not hitting. And so it was awesome early on to get as many plays as I did and have a chance to make a difference early on, and that really helped me going forward.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It is it's interesting to look at the Cubs and Nico Horner. And again, not the savior, just the spark, but they need a savior. Let's get out to Jim Callis. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Jim, of course, MLB.com, MLB Network, MLB Pipeline. Good morning, Jim. How are you this morning? Good
morning, Jim.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well, and we're trying to figure out what we have here in Nico Horner and what the comparisons are. Hilarious that after the first game, everyone's talking about, Ryan Sandberg has come again. And now we can hesitate a little and stop comparing him to Hall of Famers. But appreciate that he's a pretty good player and a good young player and a guy that came off his couch and helped them win a game. And now here you go with him in the lineup.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think we're going to see what we're going to see now isn't going to be what you're going to see when he arrives more like along the lines of when he was supposed to, which might be toward the end of next year. But, you know, really with the situation they were in with Baez getting hurt and then Russell getting hurt, he was, you know, his bat is his, you know, what stands out about him. But it was really his defense, I think, is the main reason they called him up, because I guess the other options on the roster right now to play shortstop would have been David Bodie and Ben Zobrist. And that's, I mean, those guys are good players, but those guys are not good shortstops. So what you're getting now is a guy who can kind of play, you know, a competent shortstop. And he's gifted enough as a hitter, even though he's been kind of rushed to the big leagues. You know, he's had some injuries, only played 89 games in the minors. They took him in the first round. He's not going to be overwhelmed. You know, we saw that with three hits the first night. I mean, he's one of the better hitting prospects, not just in the Cub system, but in the minors. He really excels at putting the bat on the ball, and he's got some deceptive power. You know, I think it'll be 15 to 20 home run power. You know, once he's fully established, he might be a 20-20 guy because he can run a little bit too. And I do think he winds up at second base in the long run. But right now, you know, it's funny. If you told me even a month ago that Nico Horner's going to get called up to the Cubs because of his glove, I would have been like, what? Like, well, what scenario is that going to happen in? But that's kind of what happened here.
Coming out of Stanford, he wasn't a consensus first-round projection, Jim. And was that basically because of the lack of power at Stanford? And defensively, if you had to describe, you know, what he does best, I don't know that that strikes me as a strong arm as much as he's pretty sure about where the ball is going. So he's dependable in that way. But I wouldn't say that. Do you think his arm strength is an issue?
Yeah. The big reason he wasn't a consensus first round. Yeah, it's funny because when the coach took him 24th, you know, there were some teams who were like, oh, that was kind of higher than we thought. I think most people saw him as like a supplemental to early second round pick. And then when guys saw him in the fall league, you had pro scouts who hadn't seen him as an amateur. Everybody in the fall league who I talked to last year and he really tore it up was asking me, like, how'd this guy last 24 picks? Like this guy's too good to have been the 24th pick in the draft. And, you know, he hit, I think it was, what, like three homers in 3 years at Stanford. The Cubs have already, like, worked with him to change his swing a little bit. And he's such a gifted hitter that, you know, with some guys, that, you know, that's easier said than done. But he's been able to make some adjustments. He did have a broken wrist when he got hit by a pitch, so his power numbers were down this year. But I think he will have more power. Even the Cubs were pleasantly surprised at how much he showed the ability to drive the ball with wood bats. And, you know, defensively, yeah, you're right about his arm. It's probably an average to solid arm by shortstop standards. His range is probably average by shortstop standards. You know, the best things about him defensively, shortstop, like I said, it's basically competent. You know, he has good hands. He has good instincts. He has a good baseball IQ. He makes accurate throws. So he's the type of guy who can do, you know, well, what he's doing now, you know, he's being asked to do now, which is hold down shortstop. You know, he'll be probably, you know, around an average defender, maybe at shortstop. And most teams want a better than average, you know, defender at shortstop, which is why I think you'll see him move to second base, you know, potentially center field in the long run. But he's probably going to be a second baseman, I think, in the long run, and Javi Baez would be your shortstop.
Jim, it's fun to watch the prospect lists and to see the ever-shifting sands of who's moving up and who's moving down. And as a White Sox fan, I'm concentrating on that sort of thing. We know Louis Robert has been unbelievable, had an unbelievable year going through three levels in the minor leagues. There was a thought that if they were going to bring him up, they probably should have done it at the halfway point. They should have probably done it at the All-Star break, but they didn't do it, and he was killing it down in the minors, but the Sox were kind of falling apart at the time. And I understand time of service and why you wait on guys and all that, but Louis Robert is going to press there that next year, I would imagine. He looks like he's the real deal.
Yeah, no, he does. I mean, it's fun. We picked him as our minor league player of the year. You know, he was the first guy to have a 30-30 season with 300 total bases since, it took me a while to look this up, since Jose Cardenal in 1961. And uh-huh. I mean, his combination of power and speed is unbelievable. And yeah, I mean, I'm like you, I don't blame the White Sox for not calling him up, because the way this CBA, the way the rules work now, it doesn't make sense to call him up. And honestly, I mean, the guy's got a $26 million bonus when he signed. So you're probably not going to get the guy. You know, Robert's probably not going to sign like an 8-year deal before he gets to the big leagues and give away free agency. He's got no incentive to do that because he's already got a lot of money. But yeah, I hope this changes in the next CBA to where guys will get called up on merit, because I do think that the flip side of that argument is, you know, I keep saying this, and I mean, one of these years will come true, but like, your teams with good farm systems often contend a year earlier than expected. So I think there's a potential when you look at some of the pitchers who broke through for the White Sox, and maybe they make some moves in the offseason, and some of the position players, especially Moncada, took a step forward, and maybe Andrew Vaughn's ready pretty quick, but maybe they're kind of a surprise contender. I don't think the AL Central is a juggernaut division by any means, and I do think there's some positive aspects to, yeah, okay, you would have gotten a service time clock ticking, but like, why not give Luis Robert the final, you know, month of the season in the big leagues so he gets acclimated? So instead of having to kind of learn on the fly, you know, like Eloy Jimenez did this year, you know, maybe his acclimation goes a little bit easier if he's up in September. So I think teams lose sight of that. I understand why they do it. It's a business decision. But, you know, hopefully that'll get addressed in the next CBA. Because I also just don't think it's a great look for baseball as a sport when we all know that these guys belong in the big leagues and teams have to sit there. And, like, I like Rick Hahn, and I think Rick Hahn does a good job. But sit there and tell us, well, you know, it's been a trying year because he moved up twice. Like, come on. Like, really? Like, I've never heard that one before. The, oh, he's already had two promotions this year, so there's been a lot going on, so we're going to shut him down. Like, I'm not buying that one.
And aren't those service time considerations what make the Cubs situation with Horner even more surprising, or maybe came out of left field for us because you expected them to be, you know, use that as the argument of
keeping
Nico
Horner down? It was kind of desperate, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a sign of the desperation they're in.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're trying to win now, and he was their best defensive option shortstop. The other thing is, too, I do think with Nico, you know, providing he stays healthy and he's been banged up and you know, getting hit by a pitch is not much you can do, and damaging your thumb diving for a ball or something. You know, it's not like these are chronic injuries. But I think had he been healthy next year, I really think he would have pushed for a midseason promotion. So, like, it would have been kind of tough where, hey, look, the Cubs are trying to win. He's ready to help them. I mean, I really do think he could be their best second base option by midseason next year. So he was already going to have like a half year of service time. So this probably won't affect things in the long run. You know, maybe it affects arbitration eligibility, but you can massage that a little bit too.
So Jim, when we talk about the White Sox possibly contending, we know that they've got two players, two really good players, hopefully, and Louis Robert, who'll be up quick. And of course, Michael Kopech coming back from injury. What about a guy like Madrigal? You know, I don't want to lump them in with Louis Robert because we keep talking about the two of them because they were at the same level, but Madrigal, a little different sitch. Is he ready in 2020?
Yeah, he probably is. I say this all the time when I get asked, but I still struggle to figure out exactly what he's going to be. I mean, what was his strikeout rate in the minors this year? Like 4%? I mean, he's probably, we knew this coming out of the draft. and you know, that he was the best hitter, you know, contact hitter in that draft, you know, in 2018. I think he's the best contact hitter anywhere in the minors. And it's just, you know, I think his floor is very high. I think this guy is going to hit around 300. I think he's going to play Gold Glove caliber second base, or at least an above average second base. And he can run, and he could probably steal, you know, 25 or so bases. I just don't know how much he's going to drive the ball. Like, you know, I think he hit, you know, 311 or 320 in the minors this year, and he didn't even have an 800 op. So, like, I don't know if it's going to be a huge impact with power, you know, if that's going to detract from it a little bit. But I do think he's ready. I mean, I think you could put him in the lineup right now, and, you know, I think we'll probably go through this next year with him too. You know, there'll be something Nick has to work on for a couple weeks to delay his free agency. And I think Andrew Vaughn's going to be going through this next year too. I really think Andrew Vaughn can get there quick as well. So it'll be interesting to see when they bring these guys up. But I don't know. I mean, Madrigal made, you know, a couple jumps this year and hit very, I mean, I know they're using the jacked up major league ball in AAA, but I mean, he hit in AA, he hit in AAA. I don't really think he's got much left to prove in the minors. I mean, he's been, I think, exactly who the White Sox and everybody else thought he was going to be, you know, so far in his pro career. I mean, I don't think there's anything that's been surprising about his development, how quick he's moved.
If the Cubs face this offseason reckoning that everybody expects and they have to assess the state of their minor league system, what word best describes it?
You know, I guess I would say thin. But I also think, like saying that, it doesn't mean it's bereft of talent. I mean, you go through cycles, and, you know, look, they traded some very good players to get, you know, Aroldis Chapman, who helped them win a World Series, and to get Quintana, and they've made some other moves. And, you know, that doesn't mean the system's empty. I mean, Nico Horner's, you know, we're seeing him now. I think he'll be ready at some point next year. You know, Miguel Amaya is probably a couple years away, but he's one of the better catching prospects in the minors. They've got, you know, a couple guys who I think Cubs fans are starting to hear about. You know, Braylon Marquez is a lefty who's always had a live arm, and it got more live. You know, his stuff even increased this year. And he just took off in the second half, threw a lot more strikes. I mean, he could be that impact pitcher we've been waiting for the Cubs to develop. Alzolay, if he can stay healthy, could have some kind of role. And they've got an exciting guy who kept, you know, getting hit on the finger, so he missed a lot of time. But a kid named Brendan Davis in low class A, who has a chance to be a big time power speed guy, you know, always away from reaching the ceiling. This guy was a former, you know, state basketball defensive player of the year in Arizona and a basketball standout, and that was more advanced than people thought. So they have guys. They just don't have the depth they used to. You know, I said this, you know, I guess it's been 5 or 6 years now, but, you know, when these guys were coming to Chicago, the guys who eventually won the World Series, I thought the Cubs had the best collection of position player prospects I've ever seen in 30 years of covering this stuff. And you just can't, you know, you go through cycles of, you know, rebuilding and then contending. And it's hard once you contend, especially with the new rules that limit spending on the draft and internationally, you know, you can't do as much. I mean, in fact, I mean, we all know, I mean, Theo was kind of, I think, disappointed, you know, after he took the Cubs job, they changed the CBA and they couldn't do what they did in Boston, which was basically spend whatever they wanted on the draft. Because, I mean, I think that was part of his plan, you know, for the Cubs. And once they started winning, you know, they've had, you know, small bonus pools. But, you know, they're going to have to still look for outside help. The system is thin, but there are some interesting guys in it.
Hey, thanks a ton. We appreciate it, Jim. Always great catching up with you. Love the knowledge. Really
thanks,
appreciate
Jim.
It.
Appreciate it.
Hey, great talking to you guys, too. Thanks.
That's bye-bye. Jim Callis, MLB.com, MLB Network, and, of course, MLB Pipeline, where you find all his stuff. And he does a remarkable
giving
job.
Giving you a little hope for the White Sox.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.